Hello, true believers, and welcome to Dexcelsior, a podcast about the Marvel Champions living card game by Fantasy Flight Games. I am your host, I am John, and this is Episode 5, Aspect Cards, Part 2. And I am joined by a terrific cast here. I have with me Sam. How's it going, Sam?
It's going pretty good after the fire alarm.
After you got pushed out of your building by vapors?
Yep.
I also have with me Ben. How's it going, Ben?
Oh, pretty good. I survived the tornado. That's just a joke. There was a tornado warning, but as far as I know, there was no tornado in my area.
Yay, no tornadoes. I'm very glad. Okay, next up we have Matt. How's it going, Matt?
Doing really great. I had no natural disasters.
Yay! Yay, no natural disasters. One of us is safe. Carlos, how's it going, Carlos?
Yeah, safe from natural disasters here, too.
No earthquakes on your end.
Good. Yeah. Oh, we had one the other day, actually.
Oh, my gosh. That just doesn't happen around here. Earthquakes sound terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Well, guys, before we go on, I have a question for you all. So, you have obtained all the Infinity Stones, and you have the opportunity to remove an annoying type of person from existence. What kind of person do you remove from existence when you snap your fingers? For me, it is anybody who drives slow in the left lane. All of you who are driving in that pass lane at the same speed as a person and blocking the road, you are snapped out of existence. Goodbye. Sam, what about you?
Well, considering the recent events, I'm going to say people who vape right underneath a smoke detector and get a at 10 o'clock at night or almost 9:30.
Those people in particular. Sam just removes four people.
I mean, the annoying security guard won't let me in because I didn't grab my wallet when I was escaping from a fire.
Ben, who have you snapped out of existence?
I would snap out people that post about political stuff on Facebook.
Oh.
Because that's just controversial. I'm like, even if I agree with you, I don't want to read it right here.
Matt, who has blinked out of existence for you?
People who don't listen to evidence and don't try to learn.
Oh my God, we're tackling all sorts of people tonight. Carlos, what about you?
People who say, in my humble opinion, and then go to say the least humble thing you...
Well, there you go, everybody. All you listeners, we have destroyed a vast amount of the population of annoying people, so you're welcome. You know, here at Dexcelsior, we aim to please. So let's go on to some Marvel musings with Matt, the part of the show where Matt gives us some Marvel trivia. So, Matt, what have you got for us this week?
Well, this is going to be Infinity Stones to go with your question. They were originally known as the Infinity Gems, and they had the same color, but they had different colors as was in the movies. And when they changed in the comics to go with the movies, they also changed it so they made a little circuit. So to use the Mind Stone, you have to be good and strong of soul. If you try to use the Space Stone, you have to be powerful, like the Hulk. And so if you get all six of them, they create a circuit where each one powers up the next, and it creates an infinite power.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Just those little kind of details that get added into lore as, you know, people kind of expand on their universe. That's just a fun little thing. That's really cool. Let's move on and take a trip to the Daily Bugle newsroom. Sam, what has happened since our last recording in the news?
Okay, we got three new articles. Two of them are on the player phases. So the hero phase and the villain phase. It's a rundown of what can happen in it. It's a good explanation, especially if you're iffy on the game. And we got an article on FFG Live with October 8th being the Miss Marvel preview, which will be before this episode airs. So go on YouTube and you can watch it, and we'll have a Hot Takes episode available. And then also on the 29th, they're doing a giveaway celebration of Marvel Champions where they're celebrating the impending release of the game. And then also there were some streams from Team Covenant. And then rules amendment is we said Shuri had 4 hit points when she has 3 because of Marvel CDB. It had 4 at the time of the recording. I don't know if it still does. And so that's just a quick clarification. It has 3 hit points, not 4.
That's good to know. She's still good, though.
Yeah.
Oh, we're so close to release. I'm so excited.
I know.
Release party. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait. Oh, that's so great.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at the release party.
All right. Well, listeners, we're going to go on. Well, I guess before we do, Sam, is there anything else?
That's going to be it. We're going to wait for rule stuff until the game is out because we don't want to see something that's just going to potentially just be wrong.
Yeah, there have been some rulings at time of recording that we thought about going into, but we think we'll just wait until the game actually comes out and all these rules are set and there's no if, you know, going back and forth. So we'll probably have an episode dedicated to, you know, just the little nitty-gritty rules. And listeners, if you'd like to hear that, comment, let us know. Send us a message on Facebook or post in our Discord server and let us know what kind of rules, little clarifications you'd like to hear us go over. So with that being said, let's move on to our main topic tonight, which we are going to finish up the core box by going through the last two aspects. We're going to cover protection and leadership tonight. So let's start off with protection. And Ben, I believe you are reading the cards for this. So why don't you go ahead, Ben?
Okay, well, the first card that I'm talking about is Black Widow. Okay, Natasha Romanoff. She is an ally. She has the shield trait and the spy trait. She costs 3, health 2, attack 1, and thwart 2 with 1 consequential damage each. And she provides a physical resource. And her ability is an interrupt. When a card is revealed from the counter deck, exhaust Black Widow and spend a mental resource to cancel the effects of the card and discard it. Then reveal another card from the encounter deck. So that's really, really powerful ability.
Yeah, just canceling a card in its entirety. Like, because there's enhanced spider sense with Spider-Man where you can cancel a treachery, but Black Widow just straight up cancels a card as long as you can spend a mental resource, which is very good.
Any card, so...
So I know for example, in Lord of the Rings, I know this is a different game. You can't cancel when revealed effects of side quests in that game that come out. So, like, let's say side schemes. Well, I wonder if that will be the same, that you can't cancel their effects.
You're not canceling the one revealed. You're canceling the card itself.
Yeah, that's the difference. Yeah. It's not canceling the one revealed effect. It is canceling the card.
Basically,
you didn't draw, it's discarded, you get a new one.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's all the effects. It cancels, like, Surge, too. I mean, you're revealing another card anyway, but it's not like you reveal 2 extra cards, just
that's the really one good.
Vulnerability.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it works on everything. This is, like, the most powerful, like, card manipulation effect in the game, I think.
Does this work, like, say, if the scheme makes you search your deck for, say, a scheme to bring out?
If it says reveal, I would guess so.
If the villain says search the deck for this, like, the Mortal Claw and reveal it, yes, because it doesn't say from the top of the encounter deck, or when you draw it off the top of the encounter deck. It says when it's revealed from the encounter deck. So I would say yes, you could.
I would guess so, but I'm not 1,000% sure on that.
I mean, Black Widow's text just says when it is revealed from the encounter deck. So as long as those two, you know, stipulations are met, and of course you spend a mental resource, that wording is pretty straightforward. You know, if it's revealed from the encounter deck, you can cancel it, is what it seems to be like for me. Now, you have to reveal another card, but... I assume you're only going to use Black Widow when you're like, no, there is nothing worse we could get, you know.
I wonder actually if that last line, reveal another card from the encounter deck, would be the thing that stops it from countering something like searching the deck. Hey. I could see both sides of that, but she's really good either way, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then on top of all that, two thwart, you know, it's solid.
Yeah, her stats aren't great. She only has two health, but the good thing is you can just have her, like, thwart once and then just sit and play, and as long as she doesn't take a random damage or something, she can still use her ability potentially every turn.
She's a target for Honorary Avenger, too.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yes,
and I'm like, can get the plus one hit point, but she can get plus one and thwart for four and then use her ability over and over again.
Yeah.
That's for, I mean, with good. One extra card that's going out of your hand, I feel like that's a really good payoff.
That's totally worth it, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's one of the best cards of protection.
Yeah, yep. I think Black Widow, I think she's one of the reasons to play protection, especially in a multiplayer game. Well, okay, so the next ally, the other ally from protection is Luke Cage. He is an ally. He's the defender trait. He's a cost of four. He has health five, which I believe is the highest health in the game for an ally. Yep. He has attack two, thwart one, each with one consequential damage. He provides an energy resource, and he just has toughness. So he enters play with a tough status card. So...
Talk about protection. This is the guy who protects you.
This
card is made for something. It's called charge.
Oh, yes. Yes.
The problem I have with this card is you're paying four for him to not do with anything with him the turn he enters until the defense. Because if you attack or thwart for him, he takes the damage.
And then his toughness goes away.
And so, while that toughness is great for one, like taking a defense, like charge, that's amazing. It's a little bothersome thing that you can't use him right away.
I mean, like, Webbed Up doesn't do anything, and it's the same cost, but this you could theoretically block maybe three or even four attacks.
Yeah. Or you can, you can block. It's got a lot of health, so you can, you can potentially block some attacks and you can heal them up. Or
I mean, you don't even need to block. If you just use the attack, he's basically an ally who can attack six times.
Oh, that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he could potentially stay on the game, like, the entire game if you wanted him to.
Yeah, he's good. I think Protection has some great allies.
His only downside is he's, like, the most expensive, like, one of the most expensive cards in the game. Like, I think...
Yeah, Vision and Daredevil.
So, yeah, he's... And he doesn't, like, do anything when he comes into play immediately. Unless you really need that to attack. So... He's a little bit awkward, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, four cost is the highest cost for a card, at least that we've seen so far. So he is on... Right. But I mean, I think it's for good reason. His stats are insane, you know, and with a tough card. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
And he can get Honorary Avenger, too, which... Also, there's nothing on Honorary Avenger is if your hero has the Avenger identity, you can put it attached to an ally, a friendly character. Yes. Is it a friendly character or friendly ally?
I'm pretty sure it's an ally.
Friendly character.
And then
is it a character? Nice.
Yep. It can go on heroes.
Gain the Avengers trait and gain plus one hit point. So they get the hit point either way, but you could stack multiple on one character because it doesn't say limit one per character on it anywhere. So he could theoretically have eight hit points.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you want to go crazy, like, everybody could play Honorary Avenger. Isn't that a neutral card? So just everybody can have it. You could throw 12 of them on him if you really want to.
But Daredevil?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
geez, yeah, at that point, we're not talking about Luke Cage anymore because I think one of the worst targets for that, but, I mean, you could do it.
I mean, he's not bad. Like, instead of, you're essentially now paying five for six hit points instead of five, and you're still getting everything else?
No, that's not bad. I'm just saying.
Well, let's go on. Yeah. What do we got next, Ben?
Okay, the next is Counterpunch. It's an event. It is attack trade. It costs zero and provides a physical resource. It has response, attack. After your hero defends against an enemy attack, deal damage to that enemy equal to your hero's attack. So this really rewards you for defending, actually, you know, exhausting to defend with your hero.
Yeah, this I think basically is like a must include in most protection decks if you're wanting to defend a bunch of people, because it allows you to basic kind of attack and defend, because you still get to do your damn. It's right. Basically like your hero is getting to attack, and it's kind of like getting two actions in one.
It's almost like a readying event.
I don't know when to, I don't know when to start this, because I have very big complaints against protection, and this card feeds into that complaint. So I don't know if to wait a couple more cards to say it now.
No, go ahead. I'm curious. What is your complaint with this card? It seems solid to me.
It's not a bad card, but it's not a card that's doing a lot for your game plan. I feel that in this game, stabilizing is a lot better than actually doing damage. So when you play this card, you're not readying. You're just defending once, and you're doing some damage. And you just used a card to do a normal attack, which is not that great thing.
It's zero cost, at worst, usually two damage. I'd pay a card to do two damage, and it's basically indomitable, really, if you were going to attack with it.
So, yeah, okay. But I'm not saying it's a bad card. Indomitable has the same problem that I'm trying to explain. Maybe I'm not explaining myself well enough. I'm just saying that when you look at the other aspects, you're filling your deck with cards that are impacting more the game. When you're filling your deck with protection cards, you're doing cards to do a good thing, but they don't play out the whole game. I think there is some use for protection in multiplayer games, but solo, I really feel that protection is the weakest of all of them, because it's just like you're not thwarting, you're not getting rid of the side scheme. I don't know. It's just that
there's ways you can thwart. I think protection just needs a way to get some thwart down, but like they by being in hero mode, you're preventing the villain from scheming, and by preventing damage, that lets you stay in hero mode longer.
And I think like by including protection, I think you're making your deck a little more consistent because of how cheap all the cards are. Like, you can get almost your entire hand out with protection almost every single turn because the cards are so cheap. And I think by using something like Counterpunch when you defend, if now you just saved, that's almost like action advantage, because you saved the action of either defending or attacking by doing both at the same time. And you can stack these. If you have multiple in your hand, you can play them all at the same time. And then you just did an extra attack when you off of one defense. Now, yes, you use two cards, but your cards are so cheap in protection that getting a card out of your hand doesn't really affect your hand that badly.
Yeah, but you said something that matters here. You say you're staying in hero most of the time, which means less cards. Which means the cards are cheap, but at the same time, since you're most of the time having less cards in your hand than in other aspects, the cards are net the same cost, if you get what I'm saying.
Well, it's usually just one less card, so you're still getting a bit out of it.
It just depends on what hero you're in. Like, if you're an Iron Man, your hand size can be better. I mean,
you will never play Iron Man with protection.
No, that's a bad idea. Don't ever do that.
You could play it in protection just because, like, you don't have to use protection to defend. You can just play the protection cards.
Yeah, like Black Widow or
Luke Cage.
Or Med Team. Like, even a Med Team.
Yeah, Med Team is good.
Like Iron Man or... If someone else is playing leadership, like, and also at that point, now your deck is a little thinner in a sense where, like, you're not relying on these aspect cards to get you to fill out the empty space that's left by your heroes and basics. I feel like
you need to do something with those cards. Like, if you're playing protection Iron Man, what are you doing with the protection cards?
Well, Get Behind Me is great. That's
With Iron Man?
Even with...
Like, Iron Man cannot heal. Like, when at least the way that I play...
Yeah, but if it's you do that to cancel an attack instead of, say, gang up, where him and all the minions attacking you, or a bad side scheme like Legions of Hydra.
And also, like... It also
it's a treachery, so...
It also has the mental icon, so that's good for the rocket boots. But if you're playing Get Behind Me for something, now you also are playing protection, so you have Med Team. And Med Team, if you're really worried about it, it can heal damage from your hero if you're that worried about getting defeated.
Yeah, but I feel if you're doing that,
your cage are going to help filter through the deck and stop you from getting the bad card. Like, if you have Black Widow and the card Under Fire comes out, that's an immediate, I'm going to get rid of that card because I don't want to see that card. And now I was
not necessarily, but because you're still going to see another card.
Yeah, but I'm going to be Under Fire.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to cut us off here. This is a very interesting discussion, but let's continue moving on. Speaking of Get Behind Me, Ben.
Get Behind Me. It's an event. Costs one, has a mental resource, and has a hero interrupt. When a treachery card is revealed from the counter deck, cancel its when revealed effects. The villain attacks you instead. So this is... this is a cancellation, treachery cancellation. It's enhanced by our sense, except the villain also gets to attack you.
Should use this to cancel assault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It does nothing if you draw assault. That's the problem. Solo,
if someone else draws it, now they attack you instead. It's almost
You could defend them unless there was some other reason why you didn't want them to
be attacked. I guess if you're playing Spider-Man, you could get attacked because...
This is Spider-Man tech, and I love that. That is Spider-Man tech. Like, this is one of the best cards you can play in multiplayer for Spider-Man, because if they get assault or any treachery, you can just be like, let them attack me, I'll draw a card, and guess my hand size will be one less because I had to pay for this, but now I just filtered through my deck at least one more card.
Yeah, it's interesting, there are a lot of treacheries that you want to assault. Sometimes you're like, I want to cancel that, but it's like, do I really? But then there are other treacheries that are just brutal. Sometimes they advance when you really can't afford them to scheme, or you draw the Shadow Master of Pond. The Past.
Oh, Shadow of the Past, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, you have to cancel that. Or Master. It's like, there are some absolutely brutal treacheries, but one thing that surprised me is there are not as many treacheries in this game, because I guess I'm more used to Lord of the Rings and Arkham Horror, where treacheries are usually the thing that kills you in those games. In this game, it seems more the side schemes or the upgrades that are the thing that kills you.
And so. I think the one treachery that's the exception to that, because I completely agree. I feel like the treacheries in other games are the ones that kill you. Is advance, especially in solo. I think that's the one that's gonna kill you. I don't even think assault is that big of a deal. I think that one's just like, oh, I took a little extra damage, I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, advance, I agree. That's the one. There are some terrible treacheries that you'll want to cancel, and like in a lot of the modular sets too, there are. But also, it just doesn't like cure everything. And some of the things that you would want to cancel, like assault, you can't really fully cancel.
Yeah.
Well, that's what defending's for.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So it's just an interesting card. It's a little bit worse than I expected. I think it's still a nice thing. Also, it's a hero interrupt, which is occasionally annoying.
Well, you can't you can't get attacked as an alter ego.
So right, that makes sense.
No, I understand why it is. It's just like, wow, they drew this bad card, and I happen to be alter ego this turn.
Yeah, that's annoying. I think they definitely could use a bit more healing for protection to stay in that mode a bit longer, just because you hate ending your turn there. And I think we'll probably get some more cancels eventually for protection that could be used in alter ego mode.
But yeah. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that I think Black Widow is a little bit stronger and Get Behind Me, But that makes sense because she's a unique ally and more expensive. And yeah, but it's just interesting. Whereas, you know, originally I think I would have flipped those two around. Thought this card was more powerful than Black Widow.
All right, well, moving on. What do we got next?
The Power of Protection. We know this. It's max super deck. It has a wild resource. It's a resource card. Double the number of resources this card generates while playing for a protection card. So, in the core set, this is the worst power of, because aside from the allies and med team, everything costs one or zero.
Yeah.
So...
Well, it's one of those cards that as the card pool grows, it'll get better. It's just that out of the box, it's not great. But I mean, as the card pool goes, grows, well, this will be fine.
I still always play two off just because of that.
Yeah, it's
that,
really
that
just
wild resource.
It's a problem of protection out of core right away. I think they just don't have enough not just playable stuff, but stuff that gets the protection playstyle working.
Right. Yeah, I think that this is Yeah, I think this card will be better. Like, right now, it's like, you could cut it if you wanted to. But
I think this card will get better with the Miss Marvel, or whoever the... I assume Miss Marvel is the protection hero.
Yeah.
Mostly because people can get behind me. I assume that this card will just get a little better with their deck, because hopefully maybe they'll put some more expensive cards in their deck. Or they could just keep the theme of only having low-cost cards for protection and make them a lower-cost deck. But at that point... I don't want this card.
They have more two-cost cards even, then this card becomes more playable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would definitely have to be expensive. They could just be like, you know, two or two-cost cards, and then be like, okay.
Yeah, I think if the average cost was two, this is a card I would include. But if it was, right now, I feel like average cost is leaning more towards one.
Yeah, Sammy, but do you want to miss that wild resource? You need it for Black Widow. Just because of Black Widow, you include this card.
I mean, you just need a genius for that. Like, unless you have something that requires energy or fight, you don't need that wild.
And also, if you have Armored Vest in your deck, and you're obviously probably going to include the Get Behind Me's and First Aids because you're doing protection, that's already at least 9 mental. And then you have whatever's in your hero cards. And then the basics... going to be a little less varied, but if you have more than one Avengers Mansion that you already played one, that's another mental. I think there's plenty of them for Black Widow, because I don't think you want to use her ability all the time.
Yeah. I'm not going to put a card in my deck just because it's a wild resource. I don't think.
I like the two resource better than I like this, because those are going to have more use outside of playing protection, and I don't mind overpaying for a protection card with one of those if that's all I have left, because at least it could have went to a better use later on.
Yeah. I think really, like you mentioned, the theme of protection having low cost cards, I don't think that's a theme. I think that's just for the effects they want to showcase in core, like Indomitable and Counterpunch. Those are just low cost effects.
Right.
I would agree.
Yes, I expect we'll see more expensive stuff, and then this card will get better. Anyway, so the next card, Med Team, it's a support, it's shield trade, it costs 3, has an energy resource, it uses 3 medical counters, so when it just play 3 counters, when those are gone, discard this card. Action, exhaust Med Team and remove 1 medical counter from it to heal 2 damage from a friendly character. This is great.
It works really well if you are like the protection player and you're playing with a leadership player, because you can keep his allies healthy and do more lead from the fronts and just
Injustice for like Jessica or Daredevil. They're both pretty solid.
Right. Yeah.
Really, any strong ally, you play this and you boost them up.
Keep them on the table.
It's basically three first aids like stapled together.
And when you have Avengers Assemble, I mean, like, the leadership player who readies all these characters, now they already probably took a damage from doing whatever they did the first time for them to be readied, and this is just a good way to get, like, one of those characters healed, and then maybe they have a first aid or something to heal another one of their characters.
And this really is 3 first aids stapled together, but you don't have to pay the 2 cards for the 2 other first aids. You just need this one.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's much better. Yeah, it is like delayed. You have to use it over three turns, but I mean, it's good. And it can also heal heroes, so
yeah.
There have been situations where I'm like, I got one hit point, I really need healing, and then
med team, I'm bleeding, help.
This is easily the best of the support teams out of like aggression and justice. Oh, as yes. Well. Like it's the weakest card pool, but it has probably, this is a really strong card.
This is a very strong card.
This is one of my favorites from protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, this is I think right now it's like the reason you want protection. Maybe like this and Black Widow.
And Domino's pretty good too, if you have like Spider-Man.
Right. I'm just saying like
Yeah,
I got you, sorry.
That's what it brings to like a four player group, basically.
Yeah, it's cancel treacheries and healing up allies.
Yeah.
And indoor protection. No healing players. So,
yeah, I mean, good. I mean, I've done it. I think.
Okay, I'm confused again because this one says a friendly character, so that means I can still heal the villain. I'm fine with that.
No, it says friendly character, not
no friendly character. If you're
friends with the villain, though, you can heal him.
If you're friends with the villain, hey Randall, you're a pretty cool dude. You'll be friends. I'll heal you.
I mean, Sandman's a pretty friendly guy. He was on the Avengers for a while.
Yeah. This friendly character, if I think first stage should say friendly, because if not, I'm going to heal the villain.
Oh my god. Right, we're that. Moving on from that.
Okay.
So armor vest.
Armor vest. It's an upgrade. Yeah, armor vest is an upgrade. It's armor trade. It costs one. It has a mental resource. Play under any player's control, max one per player. Your hero gets plus one defense. So this is the cheapest of their, like, each aspect as an upgrade that.
Yeah, the others are cheap. Stuff.
And yeah, I mean, for good reason. Two.
Defense is the worst stat, probably, to upgrade, but.
It's pretty fair.
It's cheap. Like. Mm-hmm. Buffing,
if you're defending, this is what you want.
This is good on Spider-Man, I think, because bumping up the four means you can block almost anything without taking too much damage. Throwing on Black Panther could be nice.
Yeah,
Captain America.
Yeah, Captain America.
Yeah, if you put this on Black Panther, you could throw an extra, basically, free defense from someone else and get that retaliate in.
Oh, that's a good point.
This also makes me really like, if this card exists. Why is Captain Marvel's helmet cost two?
Oh my god!
Because it's like two armor vests, as long as you're flying. So
at that point, you paid five for two defense.
Nah.
Yeah, Captain Marvel's helmet should have been one cost.
I mean, I would like it a lot better if it was, but also...
I wouldn't really play it if it was zero.
You can double up. Like, you can have an armor vest and a helmet.
Let's bring basically like... Well, that the aggression card that does five damage, but it's just strictly better.
Yeah. At this point, I'm just not going to play Captain Marvel's helmet just because we've crapped in it so much that it's disgusting in there. Like,
I will play it every time, and I will not discard it even if it literally kills me.
I feel when we played a game with Ben the other day, I feel like he played the helmet just to spite us.
I played the helmet. Card came up that said deal one damage for every upgrade you have or discard an upgrade. Captain Marvel's helmet was the only upgrade I had. I didn't discard it and I died that turn. I exactly died. So I will die for Captain Marvel's helmet. We've already said that.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Enough about that card.
Indomitable.
Indomitable is an upgrade. It's a condition. It costs one. It has an energy resource. Response, after your hero defends, discard Indomitable to ready your hero. This is pretty darn good. It's like a third cost tenacity, or some half cost, however you count, but yeah, cost one. I mean, well, yeah.
It's not half cost, it's a third cost of tenacity.
Roughly. Well, no, but you're playing the card it has as well. You're spending two cards for this effect, as opposed to the four.
It depends on how you count resources and stuff, but yeah, it's like, it costs less.
Quick economy.
Say again. What was that, Sam?
There's not.
I said by the click economy.
The click economy.
Well, this is the advantage over tenacity of you can use this in the enemy face, so you can defend.
Yeah.
Those.
Oh, that's a good point.
If you're defending, it's even better than the tenacity. If you're trying to defend everybody, you can't do that with tenacity.
Yeah. I like cards better than counterpunch because this lets you have the option of boarding or attacking that turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or defending.
The other one basically just does it, makes that decision for you.
Right. Yeah. Or you can do other things. Exhaust to get rid of other cards, too. Mm-hmm. So.
I like that you can have more than one of them out at a time. So that if you have a big turn, you know, where the villain attacks a lot, it's like, okay, don't worry, I got this, guys. Indomitable, mm-hmm. discard it. All right, he attacks again. Defend again, Indomitable, you know, ready up again. So you can be prepared when, you know, there's big turns where something comes out that makes the villain attack you more than you expected.
Oh, one thing, counterpunch. It's you can use to get rid of a stun for zero cost. That seems pretty good.
Hold on, Matt. Matt, that's important. Say that again. You cut out.
Counterpunch. It's a zero cost attack that'll help get rid of stun or tough or whatever.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an attack, so it'll at least get rid of stun for a card, which I'd take.
Yeah, I like. That's the best part of counterpunch, I think, in my opinion.
I like for Indomitable. It's a nice subtle way to tech. Or prepare yourself for your obligation. Because I found the biggest problem when I was playing Spider-Man is if I was defending almost every turn because I was focusing in my leadership Spider-Man deck, I was focusing more on my allies to do the heavy stuff and my like damage cards in my hand, and I was defending a lot of the times, that I would get my obligation and I was exhausted already. And that really hurts. And I think this is a good, like, nice way to just counteract that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all the protection cards. Any initial last thoughts before we go on to leadership?
I'm excited to see what protection turns into once we get, I think, probably Miss Marvel. Right now, I think it's probably the weakest aspect, maybe.
Also,
it has some very good cards on it, though.
I mean, as a protection hater, I will say that it would grow into the most important aspect to have in multiplayer games.
Yeah.
I think I can get behind
on
that.
On the other hand, leadership.
This is my favorite. This
Well, I will say it can grow into that because leadership cannot grow. It's just already the best.
I mean, I'm not saying that, like, I think leadership is a lot better than protection, but as, like, we get worse treacheries, as certain aspects of the game get really, really bad, then you're going to want to have that protection player that just makes sure that that single card doesn't kill you. That little thing gets out of control.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, speaking of leadership, let's go on to leadership with Matt. Matt, read us up some leadership cards.
Okay, first we're going to start with some allies here. We got Hawkeye. He's unique. He is an Avenger trait. He costs 3. He has 3 health and attack with 1 damage to himself, throw it with 1 damage to himself, and an energy resource. He enters play with 4 arrow counters on him, and after he enters play as a response, he can remove 1 arrow counter to do 2 damage to that minion. Don't got to exhaust him or anything.
He's amazing.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
Yeah,
he just takes out all the
Ultron's. Like, okay, everybody gets a drone. Let's unload these arrows, and suddenly there's no drones.
He just takes out all the little scrub minions that you have to worry about. It's so good.
Or even just big minions.
Yeah,
he's 10 damage for 3.
11 damage.
Yeah.
I mean, he can block too.
I kind of have a problem with this card.
What?
Why is that?
So, okay, like, yes, in Ultron, this card is fantastic. This is your go-to ally for Ultron. But when I'm playing someone like Rhino and there's, like, no minions in the deck, I find myself playing Hawkeye, maybe only getting to use, like, 1 counter off of him, and then he's just sitting there clogging up one of my ally slots that I don't want him to be there anymore, and I find myself, like, sacrificing him to get a better ally, and I'm not getting to use his ability.
I mean, that's just deck tech, Rhino. You know?
I mean, even two uses out of him would be good. And, like, even Rhino has a couple of the smaller Hydra minions, bomb, and most encounter sets have some minions.
Yeah.
And Claw has
He's, like, my go-to Ultron, like, ally. Like, that's the one that I go to. But, like, I find myself not playing him as often in other scenarios unless I know that it's kind of minion-heavy because I don't want to... I feel like I'm wasting him if I'm not using all his arrows.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
I mean, I understand this, but like, Claw has minion.
Yeah, and he's, like, surge minions.
I don't think that he is... I think he's good. I mean, there will be some encounters where he's not going to be that good, but that's going to be the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
I don't think he's bad. I feel like he doesn't do as much.
Wait, of course. No, it will have enough minions. He's not... His job is to be an anti-minion card.
Especially in solo, when you're only seeing average, like, one card a turn.
Yeah.
Or one encounter card a turn, I feel like he's not as impactful. I still think he's great. But I find him a little... Like, everyone was hyping him up, and then I played him in, like, a solo deck, and I found him a little lackluster.
Yeah, no, solo he'll be weaker.
That's a good point. Like, all the cards that just deal with one type of encounter card, like minions or treacheries or schemes, are a little bit weaker in this game than they would be in, like, Lord of the Rings, because in Lord of the Rings there are only, like, three types of cards, and this game there's, you know, all those plus treacheries and plus, I don't know, something, upgrades, and yeah. So I feel like there's more variety in the encounter deck, so you're less likely to draw a specific type of card.
And so it's like, you don't want to hold on to these cards for that long. Like, I don't want to hold on to a Get Behind Me for the entire game waiting for one treachery. Right. I don't want to hold on to Hawkeye when I, like, for just because I know the minions are there, like, might come up.
Right.
I don't think he's bad. I think he's a good ally. I found him a little lackluster. I think in solo.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Okay, let's go on. Next. Yeah.
All right. So next is Maria Hill. She's also unique. She's shield traded. And she costs you with 2 health, with 1 attack dealing 1 damage to herself, 2 floor dealing 1 damage to herself, mental resource. And response, after she enters play, each player draws 1 card.
Oh my gosh. Boy. This is why in multiplayer, the leadership player goes first.
Yep. And, like, we managed to, because you can play Make the Call, and an ally, if you have 2 leadership players, we played a game where, like, with MODOK, because Retaliate, we play Marie Hill, attacking the MODOK, she dies. Okay, you can take an action, play Make the Call, we get Marie Hill, she attacks, and then I'll play my own Make the Call and play her 1 a third time. And we've all drawn 3 cards now here.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Yeah. And, like, even without, in solo, she's basically 1 cost to 4/2, and then she can take a hit from an enemy.
Yes.
She's just so efficient.
Right. Worst case scenario in solo, she's good. Play.
Hold on, Carlos, what did you say?
She's my favorite ally when another person plays her.
Yeah.
Just, like, get a card. You're not planning on it. You don't. Somebody's like, you get another card. Well, that's just fine. It's just great. So efficient. And in 4 players, 2 for 4 cards.
It's very good.
Yeah, it's
and
amazing.
Like, even if leadership isn't first player, you can give them permission to use Make the Call first to get her right back out of discard and play her again. I think she's easier than Nick Fury to get out because of her low cost.
Yeah. I started like thinking about a team up of Captain America and Spider-Man and both leadership. And my idea was, if on the first turn, if Spider-Man's first player, like, this is a theoretical, like, this could happen. It's not going to always happen. If Maria Hill is in his hand, he can play her for free using Cap's cost reduction, Spider-Man's resource generation, and then that'll replace the card in your hand, and now Cap starts with 8 cards.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then everyone else who's playing also gets a card.
She's amazing.
I think, yeah. I can't This is one of those cards I can't see ever, like, really being bad. Like,
yeah.
I feel like we're going to play this card for the length of the game, probably, just because it's so cheap.
Is this an auto-include? Like, imagine down the line, yeah, after maybe, like, a couple years, is she still good?
I don't know, that's really hard to say. She's
a single card. I can't see not playing her unless they, like, make a different Maria Hill. That's good.
Yeah, I'd say in, like, high multiplayer, like, 3 or 4 players, probably. And so,
I'm playing a solo
sure,
in Major.
Probably. Oh, yeah, right now, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, even, like, later on.
If there's a point where Leadership's solo that. And I don't want to play Murray Hill, I think they'll have gotten power creeps way too far.
All right, uh-oh, I'm writing that down. I'm writing it down.
Yeah.
We're going to look back on this. Matt's going to be like, no, they did it.
Okay.
Was her health, but now that she can become an honorary Avenger, you can
work for free. Sam, you love that card, don't you?
It's an amazing
really
card.
Do.
It makes everybody like, better.
Remember yeah. something.
One hit point is the difference.
That her low health is a plus.
Because she
true.
Dies easier.
Because you got the call. In a sphere that people play, make her low health can be an advantage.
Agreed. Yeah, you just use her scheme. She devised defending, and then she's back in, ready to play again next turn.
Yep. Well, let's go on, Matt. What's next?
Vision, another unique ally. He's got the Avenger trait, and he's also an android. He costs 4 health, so he's one of the highest cost allies there is. He's got 3 health, 2 attack with 1 damage to himself, 1 thwart with 1 damage to himself, and fight resource.
Physical, yep.
And as an action, he can spend an energy resource to choose either thwart or attack. Until the end of the phase, Vision gets +2 that chosen power. Limit once per round, and his flavor text is, I will handle this.
And he certainly does.
That is, yes. So I played Leadership a lot, and you inspire Vision, you use this on him, you say lead from the front. I regularly do, like, 6 damage a round. You get him ready, we'll do another 6, play first aid, he's healed back up. He just wrecks scenarios hard.
So good.
Yeah.
He's also amazing with the next card that we're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, he's easily like he takes a bit more work than, say, Daredevil, who has better raw stats. But when you get him working, he really works. Because 4 attack or 3 forward on its own, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he is well worth his 4 cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess let's get to the next card. Yep. Get ready. It's a leadership event. Cost 0. With a fight icon and as an action, ready an ally.
Yep.
Now it doesn't seem like much, and generally you're not getting a benefit unless you're healing up the ally.
But I mean, in leadership, when all you're doing is, you know, a lot of what you're doing is with allies, this is solid and it's 0 cost, so you know, why not?
And it could save you time too if you can get it before it spirals out of control. And if you heal, it's perfectly fine. It combos really well with Vision with his bonus that's once per round. It combos with lead from the front, which gives a boost for that round, and you can use it on Nick Fury to get an extra use out of him still before he goes.
Oh. You can also do this across the board.
Yep.
So Daredevil. Well, it actually, yeah, no, it really wouldn't matter. That's not really a good thing because like they're not going to be them unless like the boost card like exhausts all your characters comes up. It's,
yeah.
But I wouldn't want to play this on an.
I play maybe 1 or 2 of these in leadership because you combo Vision and Nick Fury. It's actually really fun.
I'll have to try it. I haven't included this in most of my leadership decks because I was like, I always drew it when I didn't have an ally I wanted to ready.
Then just use it for the resource.
Yeah, and then it's just a matter of what I'm cutting. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it because Vision is great with this card.
Yes.
You can also use it to kill off Maria Hill faster.
That's true.
I play Do Now Die.
I play Do Now Die.
Okay. Lead from the front. It's another event. It's a tactic. Costs 2 resources and has an energy resource. Hero action. Choose a player. Each character that player controls gets +1 thwart and +1 attack until the end of the phase. And the flavor text, let's go, everyone.
I love it. I mean, yeah, this, if you're playing leadership and you've got your full board of allies, this will just wreck a scenario.
It's four and or attack.
It's so amazing.
I mean, and like, get ready with this. That's, hey, we get another bonus out of it. Play, yeah. I mean, tenacity is, but with this, it's slightly better.
Also, if two people are playing leadership, you can choose the other leadership player. That player can do all their stuff. And then Avengers Assemble.
Ready up. Yeah, we play the game with two leadership players, and we end up playing three of these on one player with Vision, and he was all boosted up. Vision hit for, like, a truck.
Oh, my gosh.
And then readying that. This card's going to be great. And it's going to be one of those cards that has a really good, impactful turn.
Yeah. The only weakness of this card, this is only good if you have multiple allies in play. So it doesn't really help you get set up. It's more of a finisher card.
I want at least two allies, I think.
Yeah. And the crazy thing to me is this costs two. Only two. Yeah. You're like, and that you could just do so much damage for only two resources. You know, we'll get to it eventually, but you just, this costs one power of leadership. You know?
Yeah.
Like, good golly, Miss Molly.
Okay, make the call. It's an event. Zero cost with a genius resource. Action. Play the printed cost of an ally in any player's discard pile. Put that ally into play under your control. Now, there has been a bit of clarification. If you're getting a leadership ally out with this, you can play the power of leadership to get that ally out with the bonus.
Boom.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. This... Otherwise, power of leadership will only cost for one resource.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, oh my gosh, this card is so good, too.
The biggest thing, this is an event you can play to play allies, which means you can do it during other people's turns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maria Hill.
You can target any ally. It's like, I don't understand. This card seems kind of busted to me.
Oh, it is. It's remember how I mentioned my top three cards last episode? This is the third one. Second place, probably. It's just so good.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that. Like,
I played Nick Fury in my first three turns of the game.
Yes.
Because, hey, let's just play Nick Fury again.
The thing is, you like cycle through your deck so fast. You have so many cards in your discard pile at all times.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
No, I'm saying it's a good thing. That's what I
mean. Oh yeah. You cycle through your deck so much.
Your discard pile is bigger in your hand most of the time, so you'll have more allies in your discard pile.
It's not a cost. You're paying the normal things. This is as if this ally is the ally in the discard.
It almost says add any ally to your hand from a discard pile.
They're into play.
You'd play that no matter if it was just added to your hand. You would play that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So what I really liked about this card is you can, let's say you have a couple, like your hand, you have an ally in this card and some other stuff. You can discard that ally to pay for something else and then just get it back using the make the call.
I mean, you could discard make the call to do that as well.
You could. Yes. You actually can do that. Like if Aura matters for some reason.
Maybe
one day in the future we'll get a thing that's like, we'll get a location that's like, after an ally enters play, do this. Utila still technically could do that.
You could like play an event on someone else's turn, like, you know, play lead from the front on their turn, discard Maria Hill, and then play make the call so that they get to draw a card on their turn or something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's great. It's so good.
Even without that, it's still just very good.
Okay. The power of leadership. This is a resource with a wild icon, max 2 per deck, and double the number of resources it generates while playing for a leadership card.
Yep. It's leadership's power.
This is powerful because, like, make the call gives you basically three cards that are 2 cost or higher. You've got lead from the front, you've got all those high cost allies. It's juicy to play.
Yeah, there's a lot of good cards for this one to hit, which is why I think it's better than the protection one currently, because the card pool is a little more expensive than in the, or I think I said, I don't remember what I said, but I think this one's better than the protection one because for reasons we've stated before. Now I'm ready. Right.
I agree.
There's not much more else to say about it. We've gone over it four times.
Yeah.
I think this is one of the best out of the four. I think this one's the best.
I think I can agree with that.
Yeah, like we're only going to get more allies, and allies generally cost two at least.
Like yeah. Using two of these for Falcon is not bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess like while we're here, we can talk compare this to the basic resources. Generally, you'll want to use these over basic if you have multiple different resource types you care about, like vision and, I don't know, if Spider-Man wants a genius resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting.
I mean, these, if you have a leadership card, you use this, and you have this and one of the double resource cards in your hand, you use the power of leadership. Because yeah, double right. resources will always be double resources. Power of leadership will only ever be a double resource, or any of the power cards will only be a double resource when paying for their aspect. So
yeah.
that is a kind of a pro tip.
One problem
the less
is
the cards in your deck, the more this card use increases over the double resource, because I would play this over some of the double resources. If almost the entirety of my deck is just leadership cards.
Mm-hmm. Ben, yeah. What were you going to say?
The only problem with that is that, like, this doesn't help pay for the, or doesn't help extra for paying for the hero cards, hero specific cards, which are your best cards that you, usually they're your best cards that you want to play when you draw them. Mm-hmm. So, sometimes can get a little bit awkward.
I play Leadership Panther, and I generally just use it for the resources to pay for leadership cards.
Yeah, I mean, all aspect power cards have
bad,
that problem.
Like, honestly,
yeah.
I'm saying I would put two of them in any leadership deck for the foreseeable future.
I also
wouldn't cut the other double resource cards.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a little. I like understand we'll cut the double resources because he has Vibranium deck. And that's wild on its own.
Oh no, I play all eight in Black Panther.
That makes sense. That makes sense to me.
Matt's loaded.
Seems good.
I tried that and found I had too many, like those hands where I would have all resources and I just.
You're that with the Golden City, Avengers Mansion, and Nick Fury's form.
Yeah.
You become that meme of the guy who's like, "What do I do with all this money?"
I did see that in one of our games because it's just like. I have so many resources, I don't have cards to play them with.
Oh, I wonder what the peasants are doing on their turns. I'm here with all my money. I don't know what I'll spend it on.
More cards. The more cards I draw, the more resources, more cards I need to pay for these cards.
Okay, let's move on.
Get the Triskelion. This is a unique support, which is the only one, I think. Other than the hero cards. It's a location with the shield trait. It costs one resource. It has the energy resource, and it increases your ally limit by one, which allows you to do more than the normal three allies.
I don't know what I think about this one. I've not played it in leadership, honestly.
I don't think we quite have enough allies yet. Like, there's a couple times where I kind of reached the limit, especially when you recur allies or you have Hawkeye sitting around. But as we get more and more allies, this will become useful.
This is going to be great with Avengers Assemble.
Yes.
Oh no, that's a good point.
And lead from the front.
Yep.
It's also good if someone else is playing protection and just focus on healing your allies so they stay in play longer. Maybe.
Do you guys think we'll ever get a player wide heal? Like heal one damage off of one player's characters.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Eventually we'll get that.
I think in that instance, Triskelion would be really good because it would allow you to take advantage of and make that heal even better if we ever get a card like that. So
the reverse ground stomp.
Yeah, the reverse ground stomp. Heal one damage off of one player's friendly characters. I don't know if every player. That'd probably be too good of every friendly character, but like choose a player, that player heals one damage off of all their friendly characters.
Yeah.
I think if it did one off of everyone, it would be cost three or four.
Yeah. Probably.
Mm-hmm. I think they'll just stick it to a player just to make it easier to balance. Or maybe to each hero.
Maybe.
Hero is the furthest I can see them stretching it.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
back to Triskelion. Right now, kind of limited use, but we'll probably get better in the future. As we get more allies, this card gets better. So
we're just coming right with the cap back. We got Falcon, and I'm pretty sure we're getting at least four leadership allies in that set.
Yep.
Wow.
And who knows, maybe another neutral one.
Wow.
So I wonder if they're going to have any reprints of the core allies in the cap. thing, because I don't think they would of the leadership ones, because I don't think they really want to. I don't see them.
Only one maybe is like maybe Marie Hill, but I think they want Avengers in that pack.
And yeah. I think they would rather like
put new Avengers
uniques, because if you're printing a bunch of uniques, you can only put them one in a deck at a time, and I feel like that's just a lot of cards that I'm not going to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think they just want to have flashy new Avengers more.
Yeah. Well, let's go on to our last card. What do we got?
Inspired. It's a leadership upgrade. It's a condition. Cost one. With a fight resource. And you attach it to an ally, max one per ally. Attached ally gets plus one thwart and plus one attack.
Yeah. Seems good.
It's solid.
Yep. It's good, especially in a sphere like leadership, or that, you know, wants to have a bunch of allies. Yeah, sure. Why not buff one of them up as long as you're going to try to keep them into play?
Yeah, and then especially you can heal them up and keep it going forever. Or use a tiger or black cats.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are good.
Ooh, cage.
Bam. Oh, yep. Tiger is a great target for this one. I didn't even
Yes.
Because she heals herself when she kills a minion. So, yeah, tigers are really good.
Yeah, generally when I'm playing leadership, I have like one ally. This guy's staying in play no matter what. I have another, which is, it can come and go, which is a bit longer. Then I have the third slot, which is, okay, who's getting killed this round? Maybe the other two are alternating.
Yeah.
Like, as we get more allies and scaling becomes useful, then maybe I'll have a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But you want that at least one slot where it's your sacrificial lamb this turn.
Yeah.
This is nice on Shuri tech, because if you have your four upgrade, Black Panther upgrades out, and like you're just cycling through your deck, you can play Shuri, fetch this out, put this on Shuri, and now she's attack two thwart for two costs.
Three costs
with three hit points. And then, like I said, this is great with Honorary Avenger, because now they're standing around for an extra turn. That card is really good. I first thought that card was really bad, but now I'm like, I kind of really like that card.
Oh, no, yeah, Honorary Avenger. It's basically a zero cost, get another use out on ally. It's like, hey, is your cost Thor 2? I'll take that.
And it's cut off guard tech.
Yeah, true. Just discard that upgrade. Somebody said Black Cat. I don't remember. I couldn't tell who said it. But yeah, Black Cat with Inspired is amazing because she can attack and never take damage for it. So it buffs her up to two attack, infinite two attack.
It's good if you need the thwart. Now you have two. Even though she can only do it once, but now you have two instead of just one. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference between one and two with threat is going to make a big difference in something like solo. Maybe not as much in multiplayer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's leadership.
That is leadership. So what do we think?
Great.
I think we've said before, like, yeah, this is probably one of the best spheres. Aspects. Sphere. Yeah, it's
the most
incredible.
Well-rounded. Definitely.
I mean, Frank, it lets you fort or fight, depending on how you need. So fort early to stabilize. Then once it's time to fight, your allies all fight. And when the enemy attacks you, just throw an ally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's better than defending, because unless they have overkill, which I imagine there'll be a bit more in the future, it'll just covers all the bases.
Yes.
Charge and Maria Hill are not good friends.
The one time you don't want her to die. Yeah. No, Maria, what are you doing?
Yeah, this aspect is great, and a lot of the cards just seem like they'll just keep getting better, so
yeah. I love it. So let's do a quick round the horn. Favorite aspect out of the box, and maybe like your top favorite and maybe your least favorite. Sam, go.
My top favorite is protection, and my least favorite is aggression.
Okay.
I don't like aggression, especially in multiplayer, because I feel like the more players you have, the less damage in like high cost, like high damage, like five damage cards, I feel like they are less impactful, because like, yes, they were at 107, now they're at 102. Like, you really didn't do that much. I'd rather stabilize. And I just love the protection cards. I love the idea of it. I love just defending and readying with Indomitable. Like, I love the action advantage you get out of Counterpunch, and Menteem's just fantastic. Black Widow's fantastic.
All right, Ben.
I want to think it's the best. It's my favorite.
Ben, what do you got?
My favorite is protection, because I like playing support type, you know, decks, and I like canceling stuff and manipulating stuff. I hope we see, you know, keep seeing more of that sort of thing in the future. My least favorite, probably Justice, because like, it's not the worst. It's just like, it just bores me a little bit. It's like, oh, everything just, you know, Rue's threat, I guess. At least I feel like aggression has more style. At least the core set.
That's true.
Matt, your pick for top favorite and least favorite.
Something I want to say on protection. I think I was just for the scenarios, because we're going to get more scenarios, and there's going to be a lot more ways where they hurt us in counter deck, from attacks. It's just the thing about canceling the villain, and that's just going to get stronger as we get stronger villains.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay, so favorite aspect is leadership. I just love building an army. I like the alpha strike turns you can build with it. And just all the unique allies that do fun, unique things. Falcon coming up and Maria Hill, Vision. And my least favorite aspect is also leadership, just because it feels like it encompasses too much, I feel. It's just too broad in its ability.
Interesting. So you think it's like too good?
Yes.
Yes. I love it, but it's just too good. It shouldn't be able to do all this as good as it does.
I wish the first pack wasn't a leadership pack. I want to see the other aspects built up before the best aspect is built up.
Oh, well, you know, we'll get there eventually.
Though I'm happy it's Captain America, because I like Captain America.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think if they were going to do an aspect with Captain America, it had to be leadership, you know?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. My favorite is, I think, it's really hard for me between Justice and leadership. I really like Justice because I really like the being the guy who just removes all the threat and is like, tells the villain, no, you are not going to scheme this turn. Or, no, all of that threat right there, yeah, that's gone. I really like some of the Justice, like Daredevil's so good. Oh my gosh, he's amazing. So it's tough, but I think I'm going to go Justice slightly ahead, although I will admit leadership is probably stronger. My least favorite is Protection, even though Spider-Man's my favorite hero, and I think he's probably the best with Protection, or one of the best with Protection. I don't know, right now it just seems like Protection is just, to me at least, for my playstyle, Protection is kind of boring. Like, to just kind of focus on just defending things. And that's just a personal thing for me. So, I will freely admit that. But that looks like all the time we have for today. We have made it through the entire core set. So we have reviewed all the cards, guys. That's pretty sweet. That's kind of a milestone right there. Did it before the game even came out. Look at us. Well, Sam, why don't you close it out for us?
All right, everybody. Excelsior. Onwards and upwards.